What is up, all of our wrestling fans out there? This is Rob T, and you are listening to the Brothers of Discussion. And of course, here with me is my brother,
Fanboy Dave.
That's right.
He's here. I can introduce myself, man.
All right, go ahead.
I'm Fanboy Dave.
Yep. And he is here, and he is in rare form today. He's already giving me crap. So we're starting things off in the right way. Today, though, we do have a special guest with us.
Who is our guest?
Our guest is our sponsor. We have one of our sponsors is Metroflex Gym in San Marcos, Texas. And we have with us one of the owners of Metroflex Gym, Mr. Daniel Haggerty. What is up, Daniel?
What's going on, Rob? Thanks for having me, bud.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you're here.
He looks like a wrestler.
He does look like a wrestler. And I think you've gotten that quite a bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I get the comment I get is like, hey, do you know you look like Goldberg? It's like, yeah, I wish I had his paycheck.
Yeah. So you got the whole bald head thing, and you know, I mean, right now you got the full beard. I think Goldberg did have a full beard when he came back to WWE, and you even got a little gray in the beard too, just like
gray.
He did.
Yes, I do.
So the reason I got Daniel here with us today is Daniel is also a huge wrestling fan. Daniel, before we get into the topic, do me a favor. I want you to tell our audience that wonderful story about you running into Triple H at a show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. SmackDown, where they came to San Antonio one year, and I was there, and I got up to go grab a beer, and I don't know what the hell happened, man, but like I'm wandering. I got lost. I'm backstage, and all of a sudden, there he is, Triple H. He comes walking up to me. He's like, hey, man, you look kind of lost. I was like, yeah, dude. He's like, I just trying to grab a beer.
How many beers did you have, man?
A little too many. But yeah, I was like, just trying to figure out a way to get back to my seat. So like he's like, here, let me show you. And so we just start walking, and man, we just start talking about wrestling, and he's kind of giving me some in and outs and stuff. Told him like how I wanted to get into the business, and he kind of gave me a little bit of advice. He's like, man, he goes, do you got family? I was like, yeah. He goes, don't do it. He's like, don't do it, man. He goes, you're on the road all the time. He's like, you got kids, man. It's just that's the way it is. But that night, I got to talk to him. I actually got to meet and shake hands with Undertaker, who is a big fucking dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did Rob T tell you this is a PG cast? We do not cuss.
Did Rob T tell you he don't care?
No.
Go ahead.
Rob T did not tell me that. But needless to say, we had a good conversation, and he kind of politely showed me my way back out, and that's when I made it back to my seat. And my wife at the time, she's like, "Where the hell have you been?"
Yeah.
And I tried telling her, she's like, "You're full of crap." And I'm like, "Hey, nope." But yeah, that was my time I got to meet Triple H.
So how big were you compared to Triple H?
Oh, back then he was a pretty good size, but I was tipping the scales about 260, 270.
Yeah.
So, About par.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little taller, but
so you could have taken him.
I won't say that, but you know,
take him for a beer.
I'll be all right. I've seen what that man can do. I don't know.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's a great story. So we're gonna try because we're sharing a mic here. So just kind of keep that in mind. But so what we're gonna talk about today, I'm really excited about it. So let me tell you how I came across this topic. If you don't have Peacock. If you don't have it, you need to get it because that's where you can get the WWE Network, basically. And there's a great show on there, a series of shows. It's called Legends of Wrestling. I happened to be looking at it this past week, and they had this episode on rivalries. And it just made me say, we got to talk about rivalries.
Well, why don't you want to talk about what really happened last week that was all on social media?
Which part?
Good old JR.
Oh, about his mess up? Because there's nothing really to talk about. The dude messed up.
I might watch it if it was WWE Dynamite.
Man, he made one blunder. One little bitty blunder.
It
now,
was live.
You want to talk about something? Let's talk about what happened this week on AEW, which they tore the house down.
I didn't watch. I was on vacation.
Yeah, I know you didn't watch. So, Daniel, I know you're so busy with the gym, you don't get a lot of time to watch TV, but I've told you, we've talked about the AEW being out now. So. And the whole thing is that right now AEW is on fire.
Really, I gotta get back into it because I'll tell you this: ever since like the early 2000s, man, I've gotten away from it.
You ain't missing much with AEW.
It's gotten a little soft and just soap opera-ish.
Right.
But yeah.
So AEW Wednesday show was of this week that we're recording. We're recording on a Friday, but they had their first show in front of, like, they went on the road
Okay.
since COVID.
Ah.
Yeah. So the crowd was on fire. It was just hella hot. And the big thing to come out of that show, spoiler alert for some of y'all that don't know this, but former WWE superstar Aleister Black made his debut on AEW Dynamite. He is now known as Malakai Black. And his, I mean, the crowd popped huge when the lights came back on, because the lights went out, came back on, he was there. And I mean, the crowd popped huge. Also, it was the in-ring debut of Andrade El Idolo, who's the former WWE superstar Andrade. And he had his match with Matt Sydal, who was formerly known as Matt Stryker in WWE. And they had on one hell of a match. Great match. All in all, that show was amazing. That show was awesome. Way better than
Matt
Monday.
Matt Sydal, Evan Bourne.
Evan Bourne, thank you. I said it wrong.
Because you know your WWE guys.
All I can tell you is I saw Raw this week, and I saw Dynamite, and Dynamite kicked Raw's ass.
You're crazy,
I'm telling you. I'm just being honest. So in case you don't know this yet, Daniel, the whole deal here is that Fanboy Dave over
apparently,
here.
Apparently, I'm catching on pretty quick.
Yeah. He's a huge WWE fanboy and won't even give AEW a chance.
You didn't watch the Great American Bash?
I did, and it was great.
Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great show. I still can't say it was better than Dynamite. And the only reason why, though, honestly, is because of the people. Because they were the people just made the show that much better.
Well, we're about to go live. Coming to Fort Worth.
Yeah, I know. I know WWE starting next week. They're going to be back in front of people.
That's so. I can't. That the crowd. Yeah, sorry. The crowd makes the show, man. That's
yes. I agree. So, going on to our topic, what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about some of the greatest rivalries in pro wrestling history, okay?
So you wouldn't have any in AEW, right? Because
not yet, no, because they haven't been around that long.
Good, so this podcast is going to be real good then.
Yeah, we should be, in your opinion, yeah, we should be fine. I want to talk not just WWE, because we're talking like back in the day, there was a bunch of great rivalries, and I kind of want to touch base on all of them. So, being that we have a guest, I know you got your notes, Daniel, but here's what I want. My first question to you is, for you, as a fan, in your opinion, from your, not just what you hear, but your opinion, who do you, what rivalry do you think is the best for you?
What sticks out for me? A lot of years ago back on this one, but this is going to kind of age me a little bit, but I got to say it's, I miss the whole Rowdy and Hulk Hogan days. I'm a big Roddy Piper fan.
Right.
Everyone knows that, but
one of the best heels in the business.
Oh, hell yeah. I missed it where, you know, Hulk Hogan was the golden boy and Rowdy was the heel, and they just fed off each other and the way they did it back then. And it was pretty intense in some of the matches. And, there's one, who was it? Was it Cyndi Lauper?
Yes.
She got involved. And like,
Roddy Piper. WrestleMania 2?
I think so.
Yeah.
Roddy Piper had to like kick her across the stage or in the ring. And what was bad is like the crowd got involved, the cops came in, and this was back before the veil was lifted.
Right.
And so they couldn't tell the cops, like, hey, it's all part of the show. So like, that was when, Roddy actually got escorted out by the cops and stuff.
But, yeah, right.
That to me, that was just some great stuff back then. So.
And if it wasn't for that specific rivalry that happened, we probably wouldn't have what we have today.
No.
Because it's funny you bring that up, because right before we came here today, I was on the WWE Network, and I was just watching random stuff, and they had a WrestleMania Rewind on, and it was the match between Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. Versus Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper. And they were just talking about how that crossover, right, into pop culture and then, of course, into wrestling is really what helped get WWE into the mainstream. Yeah. And so it's funny, but that rivalry really kind of set the stage for what we have now.
Yeah.
And that rivalry was awesome, because it wasn't just that match.
Even when Roddy and Hulk came back.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that rivalry was still going on. And up until the WCW days, Hulk Hogan hadn't beaten Roddy Piper.
No. And it carried over. And that's what's great about it. It carried over into WCW, and then it came back over to WWE for a little bit. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a great one. All right, Dave, how about you? In your opinion, what's that rivalry that just sticks out in your head?
Stone Cold and The Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
The best WrestleMania of all time is WrestleMania 17.
There was some definite energy in that one. I'll never forget that one. Did you watch that one?
Yeah.
Crowd going back and forth.
Oh yeah.
It's dude, they
that
stood
was intense.
Yeah, they stood.
And you
there
had Limp Bizkit, My Way is a song. Yeah.
They stood there for what seemed like forever before they even started the match, and it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And Hulk Hogan, I don't care who says what about the man. I've heard all kinds of people say he's not a good worker and this and that, but that man knows. He's a genius when it comes to the ring. Mm-hmm. He is. He knows how to get what from the crowd. He knows how to invoke those emotions. He will make you love him or he will make you hate him.
And he had a lot of great rivalries. Like
for sure.
The Macho Man or with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
When it was champion versus champion, WrestleMania, was it 6?
Yeah.
Andre the Giant.
Yes. I mean, WrestleMania 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an iconic moment, of course. So, yeah, both great rivalries. My favorite, honestly, is Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Yep.
That's probably my favorite one. And
screw over.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole thing about for me rivalries is they have to be rooted in some kind of realism.
Well, because they didn't get along in real life either.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So for me, I think the greatest rivalries, honestly, the greatest storylines in wrestling have to have some, just even if it's just an inkling of realism to it. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Authentic, yes, yeah. Exactly. That's why another great one would be Edge and Matt Hardy, because that actually came from a real life thing that happened.
They're on my list too.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got it. Yeah, they got Lita.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
It was, actually, it was a whole lot of them. Where was it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I'm sure that's like at the top. I mean, because that was one heck of a rivalry.
Yeah, the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, and Edge and Christian.
Oh my God!
That trio.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, and
are some of the best tag team matches.
Yes, yes, ladder matches too.
Oh hell yeah!
I mean, they took the ladder match, and of course, you always got to give credit to Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, because what they did with the ladder match, I mean, it was way ahead of its time, and it opened a whole new genre, honestly. And then when you had the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, and the Dudley Boys come up, they just took it to another level.
Well, yeah, because then you had the tables and chairs.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, and the things they did in those matches, especially Jeff Hardy, oh, my God. I don't know how that man is not...
still walking.
I don't know how he's not paralyzed.
Speaking of Jeff Hardy, he's going to be in Austin next week on the 17th, and you can meet him.
He is. That's right.
For $25.
That's actually not bad.
And you get 3 things signed.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'll keep my $25. Damn, I'm good.
If it was Stone Cold, though, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, Stone Cold's my man.
Yeah.
I
thought you said Goldberg was your guy. Or you just look like
everybody says I look like Goldberg. No, Stone Cold is my all-time, one of my just top ones. Because he carried it over and brought wrestling to what it is. He carried WWE on his back single-handedly for a decade.
And Goldberg stole his gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there could be an argument for that.
You think about you talk about like Stone Cold and The Rock. Okay, so like Stone Cold and The Rock, and then it was Stone Cold and take your pick.
Or his greatest rivalry. Yeah, his great rivalry is Vince McMahon.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want Steve Weiser? I got one in the fridge.
That right? Oh, hey, all right. all right. But he took what every worker in the world dreams of doing to their boss.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like, how the hell is he not get fired? That was just the coolest stuff.
Well, because
stuff,
everybody.
Man. That was the coolest stuff.
Everybody could think they could be Stone Cold and want to do that to their boss. Mm-hmm.
They could relate to it for sure. Yeah. And that was again, going back to what I said, some realism in it, man. Yeah. And the fact that us as working class folk could relate to that.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, he was going to be over big time with the fans, mm-hmm. for sure. Now, let's go back in time a little bit. How far back do you go as far as wrestling?
Shoot, back
in... 80s?
Oh, yeah, early 80s.
What about any 70s or anything like that?
I kind of vaguely remember. I was born in 77. So,
okay. Yeah. So one of the biggest rivalries, I don't really remember it, but I've read a lot about it, mm-hmm. and I love the stories that come out of it because... This is back in the days of kayfabe. Now, there can be an argument made that kayfabe is dead now. Kayfabe is that whole thing of that curtain not being open for wrestling, where what you see on TV you kind of think is real, right? Well, back in those days, everybody did.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So there was a rivalry between Ric Flair, mm-hmm. of course, arguably probably the greatest performer of all time. Oh. And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Oh, dude, Ricky, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Ricky
so,
could work.
Dude, yeah, when he brought that definitely. Dragon out.
Yeah. Woo, buddy. Now, the rivalry that they had, they mm-hmm. got vicious. They got bloody. Yeah. This is back in the 70s, mm-hmm. you know, when that stuff was, you had to see that, right? Yeah. So the story goes that traveling, you know, because mm-hmm. back then they did a lot of driving, yeah. a lot of miles oh, yeah. on the road. And so, not to break kayfabe, you had heels driving with heels, yep. and you had faces yep. driving with faces.
Yeah. Couldn't be seen together.
Exactly. Well, one night, Ricky and the Nature Boy end up at the same convenience store,
ha.
Not realizing it. So to not break kayfabe, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, in the middle of the store while everybody's watching, walks up to Ric Flair, pins him up against the wall, and basically tells him he's going to kill him, you know, yeah. and if he doesn't watch his step. And I mean, he just goes off on him, leaving Ric Flair there with the most dumbfounded look you can imagine, you know, because Ric Flair at this point is not in work mode, yeah. you know. So, but it was just something else to hear these stories, to see the lengths that these yeah. guys would go yeah. just to not break kayfabe. Well, I mean, living the gimmick, basically.
Yeah. Well, I'd say growing up, one of my best friends, Dwayne, his dad, David Kaiser, he was a pro wrestler called King Kaiser. Back in the day, and like that's what he said. He remembers going from town to town and like doing the same match every town.
Right.
And like he was a heel, and he told me stories of like just how crazy it was back then. Like he said, it was a championship match, and he was the special guest referee.
Okay.
Well, he cost the champion the belt.
Right. Right.
And he said after the show, that you know they're locking up, they're going outside, going to the parking lot. And he's walking out there. He said he got jumped and got a knife pulled on him.
Oh man.
And needless to say, some of the guys that were witnessed it. Were the good guys, so uh-huh. they couldn't really step in.
Oh, no.
And so he kind of had to hang himself. Luckily, David, he's a big guy. He's right. able to take care of himself. But yeah, right. so it's pretty yeah. intense. Like hearing these stories, I'm like, wow, that would have been so badass to be there.
Yeah, yeah. So. And it's funny because so something happened this past Wednesday mm-hmm. on Dynamite. There was this fan that jumped the rail. Uh-huh. And the fan was going after the heel that was in the ring at mm-hmm. the time. The guy's name is MJF,
yeah.
who, in my opinion, right now is probably the top heel in the industry.
That's boring.
That's just my opinion. Because he actually lives the gimmick. He uh-huh. he does what the old school guys do.
Okay.
Do. All right. There's a you got to look for it online. I know there's a video up, but there's a video where he's at an autograph signing, mm-hmm. and there's a little kid that's like so excited to meet him. And so the little kid's all excited, and he's like signing the autograph, but he's got this like sour milk look on his face. And then when they snap the picture, he's flipping the kid off. <That's> you know awesome. What I mean? Yeah. So like he's like completely like living the gimmick. And in my opinion, I think that's why he's being such a successful heel. Mm-hmm. To get that kind of a rise out of a fan, keep in mind we're talking about smart fans now. Mm-hmm. The fans know what's going yeah. on. But to be able to suspend disbelief that much yeah. that you are going to jump the rail to try to get him, mm-hmm. I mean, that takes some doing,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know. So, I mean, that right there in
that's
itself.
That's showmanship.
Exactly, man. Exactly. So, yeah, so you had Ric Flair, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, which was another awesome rivalry. Ric Flair and the American Dream Dusty Rhodes back in the day uh-huh. was another one of those rivalries.
That's when Rhodes won the NWA title.
Right, and that's when he made his famous promo of Hard Times.
Can you do a Dusty Rhodes impression?
I can't, Dusty Rhodes impression? I've done it a couple of times, but I don't think it was very good, yeah. personally. Well, let me tell you something, baby. The American Dream Dusty Rhodes... You gotta have that lisp, so it's a little more difficult. But he likes my Macho Man impression. Thinks I do a pretty good Macho Man impression. You do any impressions?
No.
No?
Nah. Just do Goldberg and say, you're nah. next.
Nope. Hell no.
So anyway, I see Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair was another great one. What do you have on some of yours?
Oh, man, you want to go back?
Yeah, let's go back.
Freebird versus Von Erichs.
Come on now. That one, oh my God.
In Dallas.
Yes. I went to a live event in Austin while that rivalry was going on. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Kerry and Kevin Von Erich versus Michael Hayes and Bam Bam Terry Gordy. And oh man, they were getting booed out of the building. I remember that. those days were something else. I do remember a little bit because I was probably about 6-7 years old when that was happening. And it was must-see TV, bro. Yeah. You had to turn on the TV every Saturday night to see what was going to happen next. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was, oh, man. And the Freebirds, boy, they knew how to get a rise out of you. And it was funny. The thing about the Von Erichs was they were just, they portrayed them as these clean-cut, you know, wholesome American boys, which we all know they pretty much weren't. And man, but that was, that rivalry was something else. That one lasted for a long time. Yeah. What else you got?
Dude,
talking old school. Okay. Talking old school.
Old school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Since you got the list.
Oh, hell, okay. This one?
Yeah.
I completely forgot about until I saw it posted on the interwebs.
Okay, okay.
Let me find it. I totally forgot about these dudes. The Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express.
Oh, yes.
That's...
Yeah, you know the Rock and Roll Express still wrestles.
They don't.
How old are they, 70?
The Geriatrics Federation.
Who do they work for?
I don't know who the company is.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Not AEW, I'll tell you that.
Are you sure it's not AEW,
I'm sure, CW? I'm sure. No, I heard that they still wrestle. You remember the Boogie Woogie Man, Eddie Valiant?
Yeah.
He's still wrestling, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Tommy Dreamer came out on the Busted Open podcast a couple of weeks ago and was talking about being at a show that he performed at, and the Boogie Woogie Man was there, and he was performing. And he said the guy could still work, if you can believe that. And I think he said he was like 75 and still working. I mean, that's that's crazy. Yes, I remember that rivalry. My grandparents were heavily into that rivalry, actually. Yeah. That rivalry was something else.
I used to love the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah. What else you got?
Let's see here. Well, hold on. Trying to find it. It's not necessarily a rivalry itself, but, you know, indie wrestling versus WWE.
That's always been an ongoing rivalry when you got those kind of companies. So. ECW could arguably be probably the biggest indie promotion that went against WWE. They had that attitude, and even Bully Ray has said it so many times on his podcast that their main mentality was it was ECW against the world. So they wanted to be completely different from anything else that was out there. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, let's be honest. WWE is at the top of the food chain. They were just trying to be as different as they could from WWE. At the time, WCW, of course, was around, but they were still vying for that position. I guess that could be another rivalry right there too, is WWE versus WCW. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest and most famous rivalry is those two companies. That's where you have the Monday Night Wars that came about, that went on for several years, that put the business where it's at now.
And then again, kind of not wrestler versus wrestler, but one of my favorite, not quite old school, but one of my favorite rivalries was Sting versus NWO.
Yeah,
that was all, especially when he like coming out of the rafters of the rope, like that damn bat. That just made my day.
We talked about that last week, and one of the things that was impressive was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Fanboy Dave, Sting went a whole year without saying a word during that rivalry.
Yeah, and that's nuts.
He didn't say a thing. It was all in his eyes, his actions. I mean, come on, man. Now that's telling a story. There's only a couple of instances I can remember in pro wrestling where words weren't said and the story was told with either a look or a gesture. Mm-hmm. One of them was, I don't know which WrestleMania it was, Fanboy Dave, but do you remember when, I guess it was Undertaker in the ring, Triple H's music plays, he comes to the ring, looks at Undertaker, they look at each other, they eye each other, and then they both look at the WrestleMania sign. You remember that one? And that's all they did. They didn't say a word. They didn't even point. They just looked at each other and then looked up at the WrestleMania sign and then looked at each other again, and the crowd was going nuts. So, but yeah, that right there, the NWO
wasn't
versus...
Wasn't that 17? Was that the first time they fought too?
Was it 17? It might be, yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite great rivalries is John Cena versus CM Punk.
Oh, yes. another one with realism in it.
Yeah.
Big time.
Because CM Punk was leaving the company.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember what he said about John Cena, because he talked about how John Cena, you know, was like, you know, he wants to be like the trying to be the underdog, but basically CM Punk says you can't be the underdog when you're the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cena got mad because he's a Boston Red Sox guy. Yeah. And yeah. I think he slapped a taste out of CM Punk's mouth.
Yeah, I remember, because when he won the match, because CM Punk won, and I remember he went home that night, and I think that was the last night on his contract or something like that, and he threw the belt in his refrigerator or something.
Took a picture of it.
Yeah, that was the one thing that he did. And he ended up coming back, of course, to the company. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was real right there. That was the infamous pipe bomb. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you get to see that one? Mm-mm. So when we take a break, we're going to let you listen to the pipe bomb thing. And we're going to get your take on that. But at that time, what was going on with CM Punk, he was very... Dude was pissed off at what was going on in the company. Creative was a thing for him. It just wasn't really working right for him. He had a lot of frustrations, right? And at this time, he was having a rivalry going on with John Cena. They were working towards a pay-per-view match. I forget what the pay-per-view was. And it was going to be for the belt. It was going to be for the title. And so they went and gave CM Punk a microphone. This was towards the end of Raw. We're like at the tail end of Raw. Okay? And they give him a live mic and they tell him, go say what you want. And he literally went out and he said what he wanted.
Wow.
And a lot of the stuff he said made a lot of mouths drop.
Uh-huh.
And once he got to where he started actually talking about Vince McMahon,
uh-huh.
That's when they cut his mic off.
Yeah, nobody talks better than
Vince. Yeah.
Can't talk about the boss.
Yeah. Nah. So, but it was one hell of a promo. And it had the wrestling world talking. It was something else. That was a great rivalry. Again, rooted in realism. Yeah.
So back, I kind of flip-flopped from WCW to WWE uh-huh. for a while. And I'm a huge, huge Four Horsemen fan.
Oh yeah,
and I'm still a little upset the whole freaking what they're trying to do now with that. With the I don't know if it's still going on, but
oh, with the women,
road,
yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
Anyway,
what does that mean? Come on,
there's only the original Four Horsemen.
Well, without the Four Horsemen, you don't have any stables. But Charlotte anyway, Flair,
Ric Flair versus Lex Luger.
Yes.
And then you got Ric Flair versus Eric Bischoff.
Oh yeah,
that was not even a match. Bro.
No, but that
went
was
on for a whole year.
That was a rivalry though, and it was rooted in realism because Ric Flair was.
Well, he got fired, didn't he, by the company?
I think so.
He got pissed off because he wanted to. They were going to announce a new formation for Horsemen, and
right.
Ric Flair said that he had to be there for the announcement, and they're like, no, and so something happened where he didn't show up, so he got let go, and then later on, that's when Ric Flair came back. And something happened, and there was like a fake heart attack. A whole bunch of crap went
right,
down.
Right.
And then, but finally, Ric Flair got the revenge by he beat Bischoff the next night for the presidency for WCW.
Yeah, and that was when he came in. Okay, mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't like a match, but it was definitely a heated rivalry. I mean, honestly, even by those standards, you could even. I mean, we were saying earlier WCW and WWE's a rivalry, but dude,
yeah.
Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Eric Bischoff challenged him to a fight.
Well, and that's what sucks. Like, if WCW, they had the talent
mm-hmm.
and they had everything, if they would have just played their cards right, they could have beaten him out.
Yeah.
But they just kept messing up and screwing up.
Yeah.
So, well, because Eric Bischoff wasn't a genius like Vince.
Well, just for a while there, I just got where I was. I actually got to where I was liking WCW better
right.
than what the storylines were going on right. in WWE.
But right. then you think about it, like, he had all that talent. He had Dean Malenko. He had Eddie Guerrero. And he didn't do anything with them.
Yeah.
And then they go to WWE, and Eddie Guerrero becomes one of the greatest WWE champions of all time.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because that exact same thing is happening right now in WWE. They had a great talent like Aleister Black, and now he's gone and gone to AEW, and it's probably going to become one of their biggest stars.
We'll see.
Same concept.
For you, I mean, you can tell me. You can tell me since I won't watch it.
Oh, boy. He's just going to keep sucking on that teat.
Mm-hmm.
WWE teat.
But it is interesting that normally they have a 90-day clause, and I think he was only out for 30 days.
30-day clause, because they were saying that it came over from the NXT contract, and they never changed it.
Well, I bet you they're going to fix that.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. Listen, we're going to take a really quick break, and during the break, we're going to show you that promo.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to get your take on it, and we'll just talk some more about some more rivalries that come to mind, and just, man, let's just talk about. And then afterwards, maybe we'll see which one we think might be considered the best, you know, and because we got a lot of choices, you know, a lot of choices to choose from. So we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. So keep it right here. Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want, a man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Jawan will hook you up with your tailor-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look. Take three. We're back, everybody. I'm learning on the fly still, man. Anyway, we've been talking about wrestling rivalries. Now, before we went to break, we said we were going to show Daniel the famous pipe bomb promo made by CM Punk during his rivalry with John Cena. So this is the first time that Daniel has heard it. What did you think of the promo, man?
Oh, hell yeah, man. That was gold. That was gold, man. That's just... beautiful. It was just beautiful.
Everybody was fair game until he started talking about McMahon.
Cut the mic.
Hey, talk about the boss.
No. Oh, man. Yeah, that was one of the best promos. I mean, in my opinion, that definitely needs to go down in history like Dusty Rhodes' promo. I mean, you know, it's a different time, of course, and everything else, but it still had the same thing. It grabbed you. There was realism in it. I mean, for that's what in the business they would call a shoot. Uh-huh. You know, meaning it was real. That's what he was really feeling. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, which made for a great promo. I mean, it set the wrestling world on fire, which I will never forget, because people were talking about that for weeks, man. Oh, man, it was something else. So, but anyway, we've been talking about wrestling rivalries, and we have been... you know, spanning the whole from, you know, back in the early days of the NWA to WCW to WWE. Are there any that just, like, when you think about them, it's like, yeah, that's the epitome of what pro wrestling's about? Are there any that really kind of make you feel that way when you think about
them? Well, there's one that it's not on any list I could find, and not many people talk about it. And I can't say it was a great rivalry, but right. Some of the best damn matches I've ever seen was Undertaker and Mankind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's some brutal stuff.
Yeah.
But that's just Mankind. Like I said, there wasn't a lot build up. There wasn't a lot behind the scenes or like the whole game, but just the matches themselves, man.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I was hanging out with some friends of mine. Shout out to Miggy and Gaston of Relent. We were hanging out last night, and we started talking about wrestling, mm-hmm. right? And
were you in the boiler room?
No, we weren't in the boiler room. And the funny thing was, we were kind of at a disagreement, because here was the disagreement. I was talking about first Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. The reason why I kind of think Shawn Michaels is probably the best in the business, mm-hmm. hands down. And my whole explanation about it was that Shawn Michaels could make anybody look good.
Yeah.
And he could go with anyone. Didn't matter the size, mm-hmm. didn't matter even the skill level, yeah. right? He could make anyone look good. He could make any match just be phenomenal. And we were bringing up different people that were the same way. They brought up The Undertaker, and I couldn't agree with that.
No.
Because I don't, in my opinion, I didn't think The Undertaker was really about making anybody look good. It was all about the mystique of who he was,
yeah.
making himself be The Undertaker, mm-hmm. right? Which is, there's nothing wrong yeah. with that at all. But Mankind, oh. Mick Foley could make anybody look good.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because of what he did in the ring. Mm-hmm.
Well, he made The Undertaker look great in Hell in a Cell.
Exactly. But he was the only one that was willing to put his body on the line the way that he did back then.
Not the only one.
Well, no. But, I mean,
so I'm thinking about him and someone else over in Japan.
Terry Funk?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's who we got it from.
Yeah. Them two together.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean... And just exactly that. I mean, yeah, that was a great rivalry mm-hmm. that they had. I mean, you hung on every.
Yeah. But it wasn't much from The Undertaker.
No, it was mainly Mankind. Yeah. And just that whole thing about, because of Undertaker being so mysterious, uh-huh. that mystique behind him and everything, he really didn't have to say anything.
Yeah.
It was just, can this person really go against this phenom of a mm-hmm. force?
Yeah.
Is there somebody that's finally going to yeah. tackle this, yep. you know, and bring him down? That was what the rivalry yeah. was really about. And boy, he did, man. Yeah. It was something else.
Well, yeah, even Paul Bearer joined Mankind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now the weird thing is he's known, Mankind is known for that one match, mm-hmm. the Hell in a Cell, mm-hmm. where he got thrown off the top.
Yeah.
And everything Everything is so caught up in that match and what happened to him. And even for me, I completely forgot the circumstances around it.
Mm-hmm.
In that they weren't even having a rivalry at the time. No. That was just a match that they added, yeah. you know, for craps and giggles, I mm-hmm. guess. I mean, there was really no reason behind it. But yet, it was the match that outshined everything else on that card. Because I honestly don't remember any other match on that card.
No. Nope.
I do remember that Mankind came out at the end of mm-hmm. the show again. And I think Stone Cold was fighting, but I don't even remember who he was fighting.
Uh-uh.
You know? But the story just behind that match in mm-hmm. itself, oh, man, if you have WWE Network, I highly recommend going and seeing, I think it's the Untold series.
Mm-hmm.
They have one on there on that match. And there was a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I had no idea. Like, did you know that when they went into that match, Undertaker had a broken foot? He was wrestling with a broken foot.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
Man, yeah. Those guys, oh, man. Well, like, what was that one? It's kind of off subject, but, like, it was Triple H. I forget who he was wrestling. But during the event, during the match, I forgot what broke, a table or something, but a piece of wood stuck through his calf.
I remember
he pulled it out and finished the match.
Yeah.
Or the time, was it his quad tore?
Yeah, he ripped
and
his
And he finished
quad.
The freaking match. I'm like, dude, hey, I've torn my quad. Hell no. I want to go hobble in the corner and lay there and cry.
No. Yeah, the adrenaline going.
Jeez. More like the paycheck. He's a businessman. That's what it is. He's all business.
I've never had a quad tear or anything like that, but the one that always gets me is Vince McMahon when the Royal Rumble. You know what I'm talking about.
John Cena and Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
When they both
Did you
went
see
over.
That? Mm-mm. So Vince McMahon comes out. Because what happened
was pissed.
He was pissed off because what happened was they both got uh-huh. each other eliminated from.
Dave Bautista was supposed to win.
Dave Bautista was supposed to win, but when they did the elimination, mm-hmm. they both fell out.
Oh, okay.
And they both hit the ground at the same time.
Ah.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. So they're trying to figure it all out in the ring. Vince McMahon comes out pissed, and he's walking with a purpose, and he's not hiding it, that he's mad. Well, when he jumps into the ring and stands up, he ripped both his quads.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And he was still mad.
And he was still mad. And
yelling.
He wasn't showing any, like, wincing or anything. He just sat down and was yelling. And it just looked funny because he was sitting down.
Mm.
But I remember watching and going, what happened? Why is he sitting down? Like, because you couldn't tell that anything happened.
Yeah.
You know? He just didn't get up. He was just sitting down, and it was funny because he's sitting there like looking at him with his hands on his waist or whatever. But yeah, he ripped both his quads.
Oh God!
Like, what's it feel like?
Dude, fucking just excruciating. And mine wasn't even a complete tear; it was a partial.
Really?
It was excruciating. Like
partial tears are always worse.
I couldn't put weight on it. I mean, it just on a pain scale from like 1 to 10, it was up in the 20s.
How'd you do it?
Wow.
So, lifting weights. Mm, mm, mm,
mm. And Triple H continued with the match. Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
I mean, it's okay. Well, to take that back, I admit when it happened, didn't really hurt.
Okay.
It's when things kind of calm down and you're like, oh crap, I tore my, then it hurts. Like, gotcha. Once the swell hits. So I can understand what right then and there, you kind of keep moving, especially like you said, with the adrenaline pumping, you're going. But when he got backstage, oh, I'm sure he's like, give whatever the hell pain pills y'all got, to hand them over.
Yeah, wow. So. That's crazy. You know, just talking about this made me think of another rivalry that I thought was pretty good. I don't think it would be on the list of greatest or anything like that, but new DX, not old DX, right? New DX and the rivalry they had against the corporation or Mr. McMahon when, remember he had the Spirit Squad and all that stuff. Now that was one heck of a rivalry too. Mm-hmm. Now, right before that happened, there was a little short rivalry. Well, I say short, but I think it lasted a couple of pay-per-views and it was with Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. And that was when Vince McMahon did one of his worst angles ever, which was the tag match with Vince McMahon and his son Shane versus Shawn Michaels and God.
Oh my God! Jeez,
that was ridiculous.
They need to fire those writers.
I'm sure. Okay, I can't.
I'm having a blank. Who was it that Shane McMahon would always wrestle?
What do you mean?
Because he wrestled a lot back in the.
He did.
He wrestled Kurt Angle.
Was it because I thought there was like one person that he wrestled a lot.
I don't think there was just one because he had a very memorable match against Kurt Angle. Oh my God. If you haven't seen that match, King of the Ring match when Kurt Angle was trying to throw him through the glass.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the breakaway glass. Yeah. So it took a few.
I think they got in trouble.
Yeah. I if you go, they have an untold. Uh-huh. A documentary on the WWE Network about that match. Shane McMahon, wasn't Shane that said, I think it was the referee that said that Vince was in gorilla position screaming about them to stop the match because they were bleeding all over the place. Uh-huh. And, oh my God, it's one hell of a match for sure. So, so that DX rivalry with Vince McMahon, that was another good one. A lot of great stuff from that rivalry. You got the painting of the DX on the building, on his plane, which was hilarious. So many different segments. Where my favorite one is when Triple H is doing his impersonation of Vince McMahon. Uh-huh. He actually had the wig on and was dressed like him, and Shawn Michaels comes out acting like Shane McMahon. Mm-hmm. Oh, great, funny stuff, man. So that was a really good rivalry. Well, very entertaining, for sure.
Is that the one where they changed the voice when Vince McMahon was coming out and they put the little...
Yes, they
Or the peacock.
Yeah, basically.
Well, and then... Okay, so now that we talked about that, we got to show some love to the ladies.
Okay.
I won't say it was a great, memorable rivalry.
Okay.
But it was fun to watch.
Okay.
Lita and Trish Stratus.
Oh, they're not great! Those are two great women wrestlers.
Yes, I mean, some of the best wrestlers. Yes. But I'm talking about, like, memorable is like Stone Cold and McMahon. I mean, that to me, that's one of the number one rivals.
Yeah, but for Trish Stratus, the women at that time, that was groundbreaking because those women could go.
And then Lita, to me, to this day, she's one of, like, she wrestles.
Yes,
she
for sure.
She wasn't like flinging hair and, you know.
Yeah, Lita's my all-time favorite female wrestler, for sure. For sure, she was my WWE crush back then, for sure. Right. And bringing that up, it needs to be said, and they need to be credited for the fact that they were the first women's match, whatever you call it, to be the main event on a WWE Raw.
Yeah,
they closed out the show, the first ones. And they were the ones basically were the groundbreakers, because since then we've had a couple of matches that have had not just headlined Raws, but have headlined pay-per-views. Yeah. Royal Rumble, I think.
Well, in WrestleMania, you had Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey.
True, but they didn't headline it. Like, they weren't the main event. You know what I'm saying? We have yet to see that.
Well, then they had the Evolution pay-per-view.
Yes, the fact that they need to do that again, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So they had a pay-per-view a few years back. This was around the time when you weren't watching wrestling, but they actually had a whole pay-per-view that was just women. Mm. and it was actually really good. Yeah. It really was.
See, because I remember when I was a kid, like it's not mentioned. It wasn't to me. It wasn't a great rivalry, but it had to do with the whole Cold War. And I was with Hogan against what's his name?
Iron Sheik.
Nah, well, there's Iron Sheik, but it was Iron Sheik, and then there was the Russian guy.
Yeah, Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah. I remember just getting fired up, like it's coming out to waving the flag. Like,
Yeah. And then later on in the '90s, you had the heel turn of Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
Remember when the whole Gulf War thing was happening?
Yeah.
And he was now wearing the garb for Iraq and whatnot. Oh man, did he have some heat? I remember those matches, and the crowd was insane.
Yeah.
I mean that was a time that was really stirring up some of those patriotic feelings and stuff like that. So
USA, don't mess with it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean it was something else for sure. Dave, Fanboy Dave, what are some other ones that you can think of?
Triple H and Randy Orton.
Oh yeah.
You remember when he handcuffed Triple H and then Stephanie was
yes.
And he kissed her? Like, whoa, that Triple H gonna kiss. And they went to his house and threw him out the window?
Yes.
Like, man. Yes.
Speaking of that, what about Stone Cold and Brian Pillman?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
With the gun.
Yes. You remember that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That they got so much heat for that, because for those of y'all that don't know, this is back in the 90s, of course. Brian Pillman, God rest his soul. He had just gotten into WWE. They had a big rivalry going on with him and Stone Cold. So they did this thing where Stone Cold shows up to Brian Pillman's house and is threatening to go in and basically beat him up, right? And Brian Pillman was home because he had just had surgery, I think, on his leg. So the controversy that happened was as they're talking to Brian Pillman, you hear Stone Cold outside. And Brian Pillman says, if he comes in my house, I've got something for him, and pulls out a gun.
Ah.
And that was something you never saw on TV before. And here's the thing, too. We're still talking early 90s. So kayfabe is still kind of there because the internet is still kind of new, right? Uh-huh. So it looks real. I thought it was real. Mm-hmm. I'll be the first to admit it. I thought this was like, whoa, wait a minute. They're going a little too far. This is like really real. And I'll never forget Stone Cold busts in the house. And as soon as he busts in, the camera goes over to Brian Pillman. He's holding the gun up and the camera feed gets cut.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And now you're just sitting there what the hell happened?
Yep.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was, I think the following week, Vince McMahon had to do an apology on television because of that, because the USA Network basically, because this was on a Raw.
Yeah.
USA Network came back, but they did massive numbers with that, and it just really kind of, it definitely, in my opinion, kind of turned the corner for wrestling at the time, because they were starting to get into that realism.
Yeah.
It wasn't cartoony anymore, of those characters they had back then. So yeah, that was something else. What else you got, man? You got the list, man, over there.
Oh, I'm running out. Hold on.
You're running out.
Gotta put my eyes on. Let's see. We haven't talked.
You got any of the other ones you like?
I always got them, man. I'm Fanboy Dave.
Hit me with it, man. Hit me with another one.
You got Edge and Christian when they break up.
That's a good one.
Or Jeff and Matt.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or like tag teams. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking the Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom and what were they called? Demolition.
That was a good one.
Yeah, because Demolition was like the Legion of Doom knockoff.
Yeah. Well, but because the Road Warriors were in WCW.
Right.
So WWE had the Axe and Smash of Demolition.
Right. That was, like I said, it was the Road Warriors if you bought it off the Wish.com, basically.
Who didn't want to have those spikes on?
I know, man. Oh, that was something else. But when they finally came to WWE and then you actually had the match, that was some awesome, the match, I kind of remember it, but I do know, I just remember how the Road Warriors would just come in and wreck shop as soon as they walked into the ring. It didn't matter who was there, so.
Shoot, the Road Warriors, man, they're the ones that got it kind of helped motivate me, want to get me in the gym.
Yeah.
And seeing those guys, like, I want to get jacked like those guys.
Yeah.
Like Hawk? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think.
Who? You know those glasses make you look a lot older than you.
Yes, really
are.
They do.
I know I didn't watch a lot of WCW, but who was the Great Muta's rivalry?
Man, I think Great Muta was one of those. What do you call them?
He fought Sting, I thought.
He did, but it wasn't like a huge rivalry. He was one of those attraction guys because he wasn't there all the time.
But it was cool when he would spit out red or green paint in the same match.
Yeah, he was. That was very cool. And that was honestly just a progression from the original, who was the Great Kabuki.
Yes, I know who Kabuki is.
Yeah. Do you remember him?
Yes, I remember him.
You ever see him live?
I don't remember that part.
I don't think you did. I did. Dad took me to a show and he was there live.
And he spit in your face?
No, he didn't spit in my face, but I did get scared. I was little. I was like 5, I think.
Like a mask or something, right?
He had a devil mask. Yeah. Then when he take it off, he had his hair in his face. Kind of looked like the Ring, you know?
I don't watch scary movies, so no.
And then he'd spray the green mist. But yeah, the Great Muta doing the green and the red, that was impressive.
But speaking about, he was talking about women wrestling.
Yeah.
Charlotte against Becky.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I don't know if I put it up there, you know, in like the greatest rivalries, but their rivalry was definitely, they had some great matches.
Well, yeah, because if they don't have the rivalry, you don't get the man persona.
That's true.
You know?
That is true. Yeah.
Well, what about Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero?
Oh, yeah.
You talking WCW days or you talking WWE days?
Both. They put on some great matches.
But WCW
together.
Is when Eddie would, you know, was threatening to, was going to rip his mask off.
Yeah,
is that's a no-no.
Yeah, that was a Halloween Havoc match. Uh-huh. I remember that match. I saw that one live on pay-per-view. And I remember the thing that got me about that match is I automatically thought, oh, Ray's not going to lose his mask because of what he was wearing.
Yeah.
That Ray likes to wear costumes that like are like homages to movies. Mm-hmm. And that year, the Phantom was coming out. So his getup was like the Phantom, mm-hmm. and it was all one piece. So it wasn't like he was just wearing a mask, right? So that's kind of why I thought he wasn't going to lose the mask right away. But the one thing I always remember about that match is he did this phenomenal move that I had never seen where he had Eddie Guerrero by the hand. He was on the top rope. He did a flip back. I think it was a back flip. Mm-hmm. And when he landed, he had Eddie Guerrero's head at the same time and DDT'd him all in one shot, basically. That was amazing. Yeah. Great rivalry. When they got to WWE, though, you had more of the drama.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Dominic's not your son, he's my son thing. Oh, man, that was great television.
Dominic's tall now.
Yeah, he is. Maybe he was Eddie's son.
I don't know.
Because he is tall. But, yeah, that was a great rivalry. And just the back and forth banter. And, I mean, any match Eddie Guerrero was in was mm-hmm. was phenomenal. I mean, the same could be said for Ray, for sure. But the one thing about Ray, Ray's great in the ring.
Yeah.
Ray doing promos and things like that, he's not that
Eddie,
much.
Eddie was
yes. Yeah. Eddie was the whole package.
Yeah.
Just to tell you how sad it is, when he passed away, God, I feel terrible about this, but I'm just being honest. When I heard, it was actually Fanboy Dave that called me and, mm-hmm. and told me that Eddie Guerrero had passed, or I think he texted me, and I was like, nah, are you sure it was Eddie Guerrero? And I remember I was looking it up, and I know this is terrible to say now, but I'm just being honest. I was literally like, please don't let it be Eddie. If it's Chavo, it's fine, but just don't let it be Eddie.
You're terrible.
That's bad, right? You're terrible. You know, no. Lord forgive me for that. But it's just, that's how big of an Eddie Guerrero fan
I was. I remember when Eddie passed away, I went out and bought his action figure.
Right.
And his little Hot Wheels car.
Oh, yeah.
The car.
So, that was definitely a loss. That'll probably be one of the shows we do. We talk about the greatest losses in professional wrestling.
Let me know when that goes on, because it's they've lost a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
So you're
saying
you want to come back?
Why not?
Oh, he's already told me.
I love wrestling. Love wrestling. I'm trying to get back into it. I'm trying to give it a second chance.
Well, don't watch AEW CW. you'll leave again.
No.
You'll leave again.
Or WCW, one of the last greatest rivalries, Booker T and Scott Steiner.
Yes.
They kind of carried off into the sunset.
Yeah, that's true. A very, very, very good match. great rivalry between those two, especially with Scott Steiner at that point, mm-hmm. because he had gotten a lot more charismatic, very unpredictable.
Yeah.
You didn't know what you were going to get.
He's the big booty daddy.
Yeah, you didn't know what you were going to get with him. So, yeah, those were some good ones. Oh, yeah. Listen, we need to take another break real quick, and we're going to be right back to put a bow on this thing and, you know, just talk about a few more things, and we'll go from there. So keep it right here. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back to basics, no fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today. All right, and we are back. We did talk about a couple of other rivalries that came to mind, and we're just going to go ahead and jump into it. The one that Fanboy Dave brought up was an old school one, and it was a good one, though, and that was Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah. Going after Jake the Snake Roberts. Now, that was one hell of a rivalry, because it was that rivalry that brought the scariest thing I'd ever seen in professional wrestling to date in my mind.
Well, Jake the Snake was the best heel back then.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'll be honest with you. In my opinion, he gives Roddy Piper a run for his money. I mean, that man on the mic could... He was different. Piper was loud. Piper was very boisterous, you know, and just very vocal, whereas Jake the Snake was just quiet, and just his cadence was very minimal, but very to the point with what he was trying to say.
No, Jake the Snake was one of my favorite. I think it was just because he had the freaking huge snake.
But yeah.
No, but yeah, Jake the Snake is one of my favorites.
You're saying you like huge snakes?
Whoa! We went there, PG.
That's a different broadcast.
But you're right. Now, do you remember what happened when he, because there was a time he used to bring out a cobra, and it was during the rivalry.
It's like right there. I can't picture it, but I remember seeing something.
So it was during the rivalry with Macho Man, where he had Macho Man tied up in the ropes.
Uh-huh.
He busted out the cobra and made the cobra bite Macho Man on the arm. And to see the look on the faces of the people in the crowd, face was the same.
I was like, what the hell? But yeah. I think they said, like, Macho Man was like, are you sure the fangs are out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cobra, man.
Yeah. And when they finally took the cobra off, I mean, he had blood.
Yeah.
Like, it broke the skin. Yeah. So, yeah, that was probably one of the scariest things I'd ever seen in professional wrestling.
Jake the Snake would slap that snake.
Yes,
in the back.
He would. He would.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember him whipping out the snake, and then I remember Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, mm-hmm. and bringing the dragon out.
Yeah.
Throwing the ring like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reptiles came out. Yeah, for sure. And then you mentioned another one. What did you say?
How'd you forget?
Well, say it.
I forgot. That's what I thought you remember.
How are you going to give me crap about forgetting when you forget?
Because I was just remembering Jake the Snake.
Well, I know whoever you said was more newer. I do know that. I just don't remember.
Who was it?
You said it was Triple H and somebody, I think.
Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
When Shawn Michaels came back and he was a Christian, and that was, the Elimination Chamber?
No.
That was before.
It was SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, mm-hmm. And then the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, it was Summer. That match is amazing. That was his first match back after 6 years, right?
And it looked like he didn't even miss a beat.
Oh, hell no.
It looked like he didn't miss a beat. And it was such great storytelling. Not just outside the ring, right? But great storytelling in the ring.
Well, yeah, because it was basically Triple H was like, I'm not the, not to say the lackey, but I'm not the guy in the back anymore. When you were here, like,
I'm the man. I'm exactly. running the show.
Exactly. Like,
this and is my time.
Yeah. So it was, oh, man, I highly recommend. That's another one of those matches I highly recommend. Yep. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it because that match was
spoiler
phenomenal.
Alert, man, when he hit him with that sledgehammer after the match, I was like, oh, my goodness, yeah. man. yeah. He's going to put on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, guys, we've been talking about all these different rivalries and stuff like that. So I want to hear from y'all's mouth, y'all's opinions. In your, Daniel, we'll start with you because you're the guest. Uh-huh. In your opinion, what is the greatest rivalry? Like, I mean, you're talking, you think it's the one that sets the bar. Which rivalry in pro wrestling history would you say deserves that title?
Okay, number one, it's got to be, and it's got to be Stone Cold and McMahon.
Okay.
But there's one that stands out, and I can't remember who he wrestled. It was Roddy Piper.
Okay.
It was back in the indie era, and it was the dog collar match. Mm. It was the first time anybody ever seen anything like that.
Right.
When the judge their dog?
No. This is way before that. It was back in where was that, in California? He made fun. It was like a certain family, and he made fun of them. And it was
I know what
you're
talking
about. But it was the
first
one they ever had. It was the dog collar match.
Oh, man.
And that rivalry with he had against, I mean, he pissed off every Latino in California.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
Valentine.
Greg Valentine. Yes. That's what it was. Them two, man. Yes. Oh.
Yes, and they were in California.
Yeah. That was July 9th, 1983. I was only three. That's why I didn't remember.
Yeah. And that... He did say something to the Latino community.
Yeah. That's a different story though. But yeah, he used to.
I do remember that.
And that's where he came out to do their
national anthem, and it was the cucaracha. That's right. I remember.
Yep. But no, the dog collar man was Valentino. Like that, and then him and Valentino had that ongoing.
Great
like,
to have
he
Valentine.
Kept ripping Piper's
yes,
ear.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So all right. So you say
because to me that kind of escalated it to a whole new level.
Right. But you're saying top right now is Stone Cold
McMahon.
And
that was just that whole era was just golden.
Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, we agree with you on that one. We think the Attitude Era is hands down the best era in professional wrestling for sure.
Yeah.
Who do you think greatest rivalry of all time?
I mean, I agree with him. I mean, yeah, Stone Cold and Vince McMahon. But like I told you at the beginning of the show, Rock and Stone Cold. I mean. Because, I mean, they fought for every title when they were in Corpus. He threw the Intercontinental title in the water.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just I mean.
Well, and that one is that rivalry in itself, like I said before, was definitely a game changer. Yeah. I mean, you had the quote-unquote the booker, the owner of a company, coming out from behind the scenes and actually being the heel, the main heel, and setting the bar for other heels.
He was jacked.
Yes,
And what's funny is that behind the scenes on that whole storyline is that was because at the time they just didn't have anybody up to par to hang with Stone Cold.
Right. Right.
So that's what they did. Well,
at the end of the day, you got to bring out the boss.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is it was just, if you want to call it fate, it worked so well because at that exact moment that happened, you just had the Montreal Screwjob.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon comes out on national television on Raw and explains his side of it and draws more heat because he says, no, I didn't screw Brett.
Yeah.
Brett screwed Brett.
And wasn't that the same time, too? Like Hogan went public on one of the Tonight shows and just like bashed McMahon?
I don't think it was the same time.
It might have been before that.
Yeah, it might have been a little bit before. But the fact that happened right around that time because Bret Hart was so beloved. Mm-hmm. It just added more heat, so it just went smoothly right into that transition, and he became Mr. McMahon.
Yep.
Yeah. So, wow, this is kind of a three-way, because that's actually who I would say is probably the best rivalry in history. And that's even including the ones from the past.
Yeah.
You know, because the ones from the past, I mean, don't get me wrong, they were great rivalries, and I've got the utmost respect for the old school and whatnot, but it... None of them, in my opinion, were just the game changer that McMahon and Austin were. It was just such a game changer. It made everyone rethink storylines, you know, and what direction they were going to go.
And it got me where I couldn't wait for the next show. Like, right. Oh, come on, what the hell are they going to do next time?
What's going to happen next? And then left you hanging every week, so you would tune in. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but nowadays that's just not happening. Nah. You know,
I'll admit, there's been times like I'll turn it on, and like they come out there with their flamboyant little bright colored things and just whatever. I'm like, what's on Netflix?
I'm trying to do this.
Yeah. He's probably talking about the New Day.
Probably. That's what I was thinking right away when he said that.
Well, and what's funny is like, I don't know, and it kind of off subject, I don't know if what killed it for me is the fact that I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
I'm in the gym scene, bodybuilding the whole nine. So, like, these guys aren't as big and big as life as what I remembered.
Right.
Or the fact that, like, they made it the whole, when they got busted for everybody on steroids and like that, so they killed it.
Right.
So then the guys started coming in smaller, not quite as bigger than life.
Yeah.
So you see these average-looking guys, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
Well, you need to go see the almighty Bobby Lashley. That boy big.
Yeah.
You heard of Bobby Lashley? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. He's a big dude. But you're right. There's not that many guys that are that size in there. Even like talking about, you know, David's favorite promotion, AEW.
Fanboy Dave.
Fanboy Dave.
God dog.
So there's a guy there named Brian Cage, jacked as well. Okay. He's big. But you're right. There's not a lot of guys that are like that.
Yeah.
You got some guys that are tall, like very, very tall, but they're not.
Jack. I mean, because like when Triple H got hurt and he was out for a while, then he came back with the whole time to play the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, holy crap, when he walked out, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, that's what I want to look like. Holy hell.
Yeah.
But yeah. So. Yeah.
So no, Rainbow Assassin.
Yeah. So you're definitely right about that. But yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think that the Stone Cold and McMahon rivalry is definitely the top. Top.
I mean, it set the standard on so many levels.
Yeah, yeah. So, awesome, man. Yeah, this has been a great topic. I knew it would be. Rivalries, I mean, it's all about storytelling, like I've said. Mm-hmm. Storytelling is to me, what makes professional wrestling what it is. That's why we tune in. Yeah, of course, the characters play a big part, but if they don't have that story to tell, why are we watching?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what's important. I think that's what's lacking, unfortunately, in the product today. Not just WWE, but, you know, AEW even has some areas right now where they need work on that as well. But I think if they were to get back into that, like the way it was in the Attitude Era, I'm not even talking about, you know, going risque and stuff again. Yeah. I'm just saying tell stories.
Yeah.
Tell good stories. Yeah. Stories that are going to captivate the audience and that are going to be relatable. Yeah. You do that, you're going to have something. And they have done that. I'm not going to bash them. Fanboy Dave mentioned it last week. You had the Daniel Bryan story. You had the Kofi Kingston story. That hit people where they were. And that's why they were successful, because they were relatable. Yeah. If they stick to that, you're going to have those moments like in the Attitude Era when we couldn't wait to turn in next week or tune in next week so we can see what happened. You know, and unfortunately right now it's just
the storylines aren't there. It just, to me, when I watch it nowadays, it's like the action is there.
Right.
You got wrestlers, they can still wrestle.
Right.
But the storylines aren't there. The characters aren't there. Because back in what I liked about the golden era, is the wrestlers' personas shine through in their character.
Right.
You know, like Stone Cold, that's him.
Right.
The Rock, that's him.
Right.
Mankind, that's him. Look at these guys nowadays where you're like, you can see that they're trying to portray something they're not.
Right.
Trying, stop acting.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, they are put in a box.
Yeah.
Because they are given scripts. They're told to play this character. Yeah. It's not the way that it used to be, unfortunately.
Go watch NXT, Karrion Kross. You like him.
NXT, he's got a point. Yeah. NXT is a lot better. And the reason why is guess who runs NXT?
Who?
Triple H.
The guy you met.
Oh, okay.
He runs NXT and as well as Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
So they got the storytelling thing down, and their characters are extensions of themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Turned up to 11, you know, basically. So
Tuesday night.
Tuesday nights, they come on USA. I highly recommend NXT.
I'll check it out.
You don't have to watch Raw because it sucks lately.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about. And if you like Pat McAfee, he's on Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, guys, this has been great. Daniel, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, man. It was fun.
We're definitely going to bring you back. We'll talk more, you know, professional wrestling. I'll think of some kind of subject, and I'm sure you'll come and give your...
Or you can see him at the gym.
And come on by. Do you know, while I have you here, I know our listeners have already heard your commercial, but let them hear it from the horse's mouth, as they say.
Did you just call him a horse?
I did.
He called me a damn horse.
He's they did.
Built like
one. Got no big teeth. Mr. Ed. So Metroflex Gym, man, we're, you know, we are, I will, okay. Metroflex Gym, we are the only hardcore training facility in San Marcos. I will say it right now.
Yeah.
But the thing is hardcore isn't about being a big muscle head.
Gotcha.
It's about being serious about your training, your health, and your goals. We've got everything from powerlifters, bodybuilders, strongmen. We've got fitness folk in there. We've got the average individuals looking to get in shape. But the thing is we're family. We're 100% veteran-owned. David and I are both 100% disabled veterans. He got burned up in Iraq. My head just got messed up in the Navy. But we're here. But it's all about family, and we're all about here to do whatever we can to help you achieve your goals and get you to that next level. So come on out and see us again. Join the family.
And I am one. I can vouch for that whole family aspect of that gym. The other thing that I can tell you about Metroflex is, and I just say it personally about Daniel himself. Daniel cares, and I can say that about the gym. They care. I've told the story before where I have said that Daniel is like my hero. Because he saved my life. I was at the heaviest in my life at that time. I got with Daniel, and he worked with me, gave me a plan, and within, was it 6 months, Daniel, right?
Yeah.
6 months, I lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was no fad diets or anything. It was following a plan that you gave me and reaching for goals that I had at that time.
Because there's just two things. Like, my big philosophy on training and everything is keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be overcomplicated. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
But the thing about, like you're saying, you know, we do care. And one thing I try to tell everybody is, like, if I didn't have bills to pay, it would all be free.
Yeah.
But we can't.
I mean, yeah, of course.
It takes money to keep the place open.
Of course.
But that's just it. Like, if I didn't have bills to pay, we'd do what we do for free.
Of course. Yeah. So there you go. Metroflex Gym. They are in San Marcos, Texas. You heard the commercial earlier. Real quick, hit them with that address.
2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, 78666. Our phone number is 512-878-8575. Monday through Friday, 5:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 6, Sunday, noon to 5. Tell you what, if you come in and if you're not a member, you want to come and check us out, if you tell my front desk staff that you heard about us on this podcast,
yeah,
my bad, I'll let you train for free for the day.
Ooh, there you go.
That's a deal.
You can't beat that. So go in there, let them know, hey, I heard about Metroflex on the Brothers of Discussion Pro Wrestling podcast, and you get to work out free for the day.
And tell them you like Fanboy Dave better.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening and joining us here on our podcast. And listen, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, because we are on Apple Podcasts now. So give us that 5-star rating, please. You can also hear us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or you can just go to the Anchor app. We're on there as well, all right? You can also email us at Bros of Discussion. That's bros, not brothers. B-R-O-S. Bros of Discussion at gmail.com. Send us an email. Give us some comments. If you have any show ideas, anything like that, please feel free to give it to us. We just want to hear feedback from you guys and any ideas that you might have. I got to say this, Daniel. Compared to the last time on my last podcast that you were on, you did a lot better with that promo for your channel.
I did. Man, last time I couldn't even remember damn address or phone number. I had to, like, try to put my business card in my pocket. Oh, man.
That was great. Anyway, this has been a great show. Fanboy Dave, thank you so much. As always, I know you're tired today from coming back from the beach.
I had to carry the show, so that's why I came back from vacation.
Whatever. Whatever.
You see, that's what, like the WWE, I'm the mecca of the show.
You see what I got to put up with? Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Tune in next week. We will have another great show for you, and I'm sure Fanboy Dave will keep running his mouth like he always does. And I'm sure that's why you tune in, because he is Fanboy Dave.
Woo!
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.